secondary knock.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to join in the opening remarks of the Right Honourable Gentleman who's just spoken, that all our thoughts are today with the British people of the Falkland Islands, and I know that the whole House agrees with him in that. Two main criticisms of the government have, I believe, emerged in this debate, certainly criticisms in my particular area of responsibilities. There will be another debate on this subject very soon, so that I cannot answer every point made by my honourable friends in this debate. I think the first main criticism is that in some way the changes, and I refer to my own responsibilities, the changes that we have made to our naval programme and our other defence arrangements have some way diminished our capability to respond to a crisis of this kind. And secondly, that the specific events which developed 14 days ago in South Georgia have caught us militarily unprepared. Now, I'll deal with each of these criticisms in turn. Can I say, first of all, though, that the pledge of the Right Honourable Gentleman Member for Deptford yesterday that we would count on the support of the official opposition was welcome. Of course, the whole House, on both sides of the House, there is a great deal of criticism of the government. But I hope that we can all unite in one thing. We can unite behind our armed forces, and that they will have the whole backing of the House in the very difficult circumstances which we face. It is clear that the whole House is united, that the guarantee of political integrity granted to the Falkland Islands by successive governments has been breached by an act of flagrant territorial aggression. And in the face of a determined diplomatic effort to solve the problem peacefully by the British government, without, on our side, in the British government's case, without any sabre-rattling by us whatsoever, our attempt to achieve a peaceful resolution of a long-standing dispute stretching over very many years under both governments might have been expected to appeal to the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Leader of the Opposition. And indeed, he welcomed the peaceful attempts that we had made to solve this dispute. And all of us will remember what he said, that he, the Leader of the Opposition, he spoke for the whole House, that he said, "We would not see foul, brutal aggression succeed anywhere in the world," said the Leader of the Opposition. And my Right Honourable Friend, the Member for Taunton, and the whole House applauded him for that remark, and we will remember it. The Right Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Down South, raised the question of the conduct of the Royal Marines at Port Stanley. He referred to what I said at a press conference yesterday. I was asked, "Will the Royal Marines be told to surrender?" And I took it to mean, naturally, told to surrender without a fight. "Of course not," I replied. "No British soldier would be ordered to surrender." And by that, of course, I meant without a fight. And what else would any person answer at a press conference of that kind? Now, I come then to the major criticism which has been echoed on both sides of the House, namely, that we should have reacted earlier with the dispatch, either covertly or overtly, of some surface ships. And I must mention this. There are two points to this issue. First, should we have dispatched earlier than we did a naval task force? And secondly, get the answer. And secondly, should we have deployed covertly some frigates, as the Right Honourable Gentleman did in 1977? May I try and answer these two questions which have arisen in the debate? With the wisdom of hindsight, the dispatch of a large surface task force sufficient to deter or destroy the Argentine Navy might certainly have given pause to the Argentinians. I'm sorry, perhaps the House will let me argue this point through. although since the incident on South Georgia began just 14 days ago, such a task force would not yet, of course, have reached the Falkland Islands in order to perform this task. It is impossible, as the Right Honourable Gentleman said, to know what psychological impact such a force might have had on Argentinian intentions. But certainly, deterrence terms, had it been successful, that large task force would have had to remain perhaps indefinitely in Falkland waters, in detriment to its other tasks. But as my right honourable friend the Prime Minister said in opening this debate, we were throughout seeking a peaceful solution through the United Nations and by other means. I have only got a few minutes, Mr. Speaker, to answer this debate. The Prime Minister said in opening this debate, we were throughout seeking a peaceful solution to this dispute, and such an act at a moment that we might have been going to the United Nations would have seemed highly provocative and would have probably... I must finish this point.
Order! It's order! It's quite clear that the minister's not giving way. He is giving way, well. Sir Elton Griffiths.
This precise question to put to my right honourable friend as one of his supporters. Understanding full well as I do the psychological difficulties of a large surface fleet, why did he not put in place the hunter-killer submarines on station 2 weeks ago?
The other option, my honourable friend, let me say what I want. The other option would have been the deployment of a small force insufficient to resist the Argentinian Navy, as was done in 1977. May I comment first on this particular proposal? Because there seems to be a difference of view between the then Prime Minister and his Foreign Secretary about the events in 1977. The Honourable Gentleman, the Right Honourable and the Member for Cardiff South East, said that this force in 77 became known and a diplomatic solution followed. Whereas the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Devonport, said yesterday on the radio that it was done in total secrecy. But he added... But he added that it gave him confidence in his negotiations, whatever that might mean. Now, can I say this? Presumably to deter, the presence of the force must have been known. If so, to have sent it, then it would have had precisely the same objections to a peaceful solution of the force. If this was a covert deployment, which I believe it was, it could not have deterred if its presence was not known. Even if the size of the force had been revealed, then it could have provided nothing more than a tripwire of exactly the same kind, provided by Endurance and provided by the Royal Marine Garrison on Port Stanley. Now, I can't.
When the Right Honourable Gentleman is trying to say there's some difference of opinions about this, but it was clearly stated by my Right Honourable friend, when the fact became known without fuss and publicity, and it had a success. That's the difference. 1977 was a success. This is a terrible failure.
Well, I don't think that one is able to draw that conclusion. No.
Right Honourable Gentleman, as Secretary of State for Defence, has not understood the value for a Foreign Secretary of being able to negotiate in a position of some military influence and strength, then he ought not to be Secretary of State for Defence.
Of course I understand that, but as the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Leader of the Opposition, said in opening this debate, there can be no evidence whatsoever that the position of those frigates in the South Atlantic at that time brought about the settlement of that dispute. Now, several Honourable Members have generally spoken of the problems which we now face. I would not seek to hide from Parliament the formidable difficulties with a crisis 8,000 miles away by sea. But can I say this, Mr. Speaker, to my honourable and right honourable friends? The United Kingdom has the ability to mount a major naval task force and sustain it for a period of time at this distance. The charge that the Royal Navy cannot do this is flagrantly and patently untrue. We have that capability, as will certainly be evident, and it amounts to a formidable force which no other nation in the world possesses, with the exception of the Soviet Union and the United States. If we were unprepared, how is it that from next Monday, at only a few days' notice, the Royal Navy will put to sea in wartime order and with wartime stocks and weapons? That force will include the carriers Invincible and Hermes. Can I repeat? That force will include the carriers Invincible and Hermes, the assault ship Fearless, and a number of destroyers and frigates armed with anti-service and anti-air missiles, together with afloat support. A strong force of Royal Marine Commandos and a large number of Sea Harriers, anti-submarine and troop-carrying helicopters will also be embarked. I would suggest that no other country in the world could react so fast, and the preparations have been in progress for several weeks. We were not unprepared, as the Honourable Gentleman suggested, at all. I must make it clear to my right honourable friend, the member for Brighton Pavilion, that the carrier Illustrious is now undergoing sea trials. She will be joined by Ark Royal, and we will retain an out-of-area capability through the late 80s and the 90s to deal with this kind of problem.
Order! The minister should be allowed to be heard in the last
secretary. Mr. Speaker, I conclude by saying this. The government does not pretend that the situation is anything but extremely grave. The resolution of this problem will undoubtedly be all the more difficult since the occupation. We intend to solve this problem, and we will try and solve it continually by diplomatic means. But if that fails, and it will probably do so, we have no choice to press forward with our plans, retaining secrecy where necessary and flexibility to act as circumstances then demand. The military problems are formidable, but they are certainly not insoluble because of the professionalism, the preparedness, and the quality of our defences, which for our nation's size are unique in the free world. I do not believe the claim that the new Labour Party, with its known and well-advertised anti-defence bias, and its commitment to defence spending, would have done any better. I hope the government will accept criticism. The government will...
Order! order. There's only one less than a minute to go for the Secretary of State.
I believe that the government will have the support of the official opposition parties in what we now intend to do. We can at least, and I would like to say this, at least to the armed forces of this country, we give them our unanimous backing in this House in the difficult task they are being on.
The House now stands adjourned.